comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This nameless, faceless generation, this army of the Lord, will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. This is the hour of an awakening of a generation of an army of the Lord.
Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of His coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce His kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to His name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John. Last week we left off in verse 19, where we looked at the portion of scripture where John speaks about the Antichrist, and not only the Antichrist, but Antichrists with an S. If you missed that show, we invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can have access to all of our podcasts. Just hit the podcast link, or you can visit us on our Facebook page, or subscribe to our feed on iTunes, or, you know, for even easier access, you can download the app, either for Google Play or the Apple App Store. We also invite you to write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. It's always a wonderful experience to be able to hear from our listeners. If you have any prayer requests, any questions, concerns, or you just want to say hello, drop us a line at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or send us a tweet on our Twitter page. We also invite you to call in at the phone number 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here to serve You. Father, tonight we come together in prayer that You may use us tonight to be able to deliver this important message to Your people. Father, and most importantly, we pray that Your people will be receptive to receive Your message, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Ooh.
most night. Replace it with your love on our troubled spirits through, and let them now be light. Replace the lies with truth.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John. And I just want to say that this study has been such a great blessing for my life. The book of 1 John is such a wonderful book that touches on so many different topics. It is a book that extends that is especially important in these last days that we're living in. It is a very encouraging book. It is a book that uplifts the believer, that encourages the believer to move forward. And after all, like we mention every week in the introduction of this book, the Apostle John was a special apostle in the sense that he was able to see specific things that others in the Bible were not able to see. He was able to be alive in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to be participant in that ministry, to be able to see Jesus do miracles and signs and wonders. He was able to participate in hearing and listening to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a witness to the resurrection. He was a witness to the ascension of our Lord Jesus. And he was a witness to the coronation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we think of the book of Revelation, we think of many different types of disasters and plagues. But the point of that book is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And this, the Apostle John, who penned the book of Revelation, is this apostle who writes this amazing epistle. It's a very short epistle, yet it is filled with great revelation for the daily living of the believer. Last week, we looked at the Antichrist. We looked at what an Antichrist is. We looked at the specific person of the Antichrist, who the Bible prophesies that will be here in the last days and will proclaim himself to be God, and many will take on his mark and will worship him and will be damned, as well as he will be damned with him to eternal damnation. We invite you to listen to that show. If you didn't listen to it, visit our the webpage so you can make sure to listen to that. And tonight we continue on verse 21, and I want to start from verse 18, because it connects with the point of what John was saying the last week. This verse 20, actually starts with a but. And whenever there's a verse begins with a but, it's important to listen and to read what the verse prior, because that but connects that verse with the previous verse. So last week we read, starting in verse 18, it says, "Little children, it is the last time, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So the verse that we started on tonight, verse 20, is connected to the things that we saw last week. It says, but you have anointing. And the verse prior, he was speaking about people that called themselves Christians, but at the end were really not. They were counterfeit Christians. They were just along for the ride, and something happened that caused them to not participate in the Christian walk anymore, or to identify with Christ anymore. And that it was also connected with the many antichrists that exist in the world, because as we saw last week, an antichrist is a person that opposes the authority and the rulership of Jesus Christ. You see, there's many people that call themselves Christians, yet they do whatever they want. They live their life according to what they desire. They don't seek God. They don't seek Him out for prayer. They just want to be known as a Christian for security's sake. However, the authority over their life is not God. And that is the essence of what Antichrist is. It is a rejection of God's authority over one's life. And in fact, a person that rejects God's authority in his own heart, in his own life, stands as his own God. But what is the difference between that Antichrist and a true believer? Look at what verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, first of all, I want to touch on that first specific word that he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, this is a very important word to understand. It is a word that is very often loosely used, but very seldomly explained. It's used very often in the charismatic movement. Oh, I feel the anointing of God. But when we look at the scripture, when we look at the definition of what it means, first of all, it means to smear with oil as an act of consecration. When we look in the scriptures from the Old Testament, because one of the things we have to see, brothers and sisters, is that when we study a specific subject, you don't just take a verse and isolate it. We need to bring in the whole counsel of God. We need to apply it and see how it's used consistently throughout the scripture. And with regards to anointing, we see that it is first used in the book of Exodus when God commands Moses to anoint the priests, to consecrate the priests. Then we later see that it's used to anoint kings before they were instituted. Before prophets were commissioned, they had to be anointed. Before anyone was allowed to serve in the ministry of the Lord, he had to be anointed. And it was a symbol that God had chosen them and set them apart for service. And even though this was a ritual act, it spoke about a greater reality that was happening at that time, that was happening in the spiritual realm. It symbolized the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon that individual. And this anointing that John is speaking about, he's not speaking about a tingly feeling that you get. He's not talking about the ability to make people fall over. He's speaking about something much greater. It is not something that is only allowed and pertain to prophets and apostles. It is what we need in order to live the Christian life and to do the work of God. It is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he says that you have an anointing from the Holy One. This is an anointing that comes from God. This is not an anointing that comes from man. No man can say, oh, I'm going to put my hand upon you and the anointing of God is going to come. No man can give you this anointing. This anointing only comes from the Holy One. God can use a man to confirm it, God can use a man to confirm that which he has spoken over your life. But a man cannot give it to you. It only comes from the Holy One. And it is this anointing that separates us. Because in fact, when we look at the Holy Spirit, not only is a spirit, but first of all, he's holy. And the essence of what holiness is means to be set apart. And what makes a Christian holy is that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of them. And consequently, because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of them, they will live a holy life because the Holy Spirit gives them the power to be able to have victory over sin. You see, victory over sin in our lives doesn't come from our own inner strength. It comes from the power of God. The Bible says that through the Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the flesh. Through the power of the Spirit do we have the ability to submit to God. Through the power of the Spirit are we able to obey and do that which God has called us to do. In fact, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is so important that Jesus had to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit before he even began his ministry. When we look in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, the apostle Peter says something very important. Well, starting in verse 37, he says, "That word, I say, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism of which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So the Bible shows us that Jesus was anointed not with a specific power, but with the very presence of God through the Holy Spirit. See, the anointing is not a thing. It's a person. And unless we have the person who's God living inside of us, we have not the ability to be able to do what God has called us to do. When Jesus begins his ministry, he tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 8, why it is so important to have the anointing of the Spirit of God. Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, he starts out with these words in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And then he's going to say why he needs the anointing. "He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, if Jesus needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need it in our lives? And Jesus tells us what we need the anointing for. The very first thing he says, to preach the gospel to the poor. Brother and sister, you and me, though we may memorize and understand the concept of the gospel, though we may be able to pass a test on what the gospel is, we have no ability to be able to preach it in a way that would penetrate the heart of the unbeliever unless we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we testify before unbelievers, it is not just our words that allows them to believe. It is the conviction that comes through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit working in that person's heart to not only understand those words, but to believe them. If Jesus needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, then what makes us think that we, in our flesh, in our intellect, have the ability to bring anybody to the feet of the Lord, to the cross, to come and understand, to receive this wonderful gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? We cannot, brother and sister. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to preach. and not just the gospel, but to preach the word of God so that it can penetrate the hearts of other believers as well. And then he says, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He was anointed to preach, and through that anointing, he comes to heal the brokenhearted. There is no way, brothers and sisters, that we can counsel, that we can minister to someone's emotional need, psychological need, without the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no way that we can proclaim liberty to captives without the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible gives us an example of a group of men in the book of Acts called the sons of Sceva. And the Bible says that these men, they tried to use the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, to cast out demons. And because they were not filled with the Spirit, because they were not true believers, though they used the name of Jesus, they were not able to cast out the demon because they did not have the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, in order to minister deliverance, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and recovery of sight to the blind. Brothers and sisters, we have no ability to show the truth to anyone without the power of God. Because God is not only after the mind, but he's after the heart. We can preach intellectual sermons all day long, but it is the power of the Holy Ghost that allows that trip, which seems to be a short distance, but is miles and miles away, the intellect and the heart. He allows that message to penetrate the heart and not just the mind. He says to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to minister. And I want to look at another verse that goes in conjunction with this. It is also an important verse, and it's the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 2. Oh, let's look at it from verse 1. It says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that we have this anointing, and that we have no need, and that we know all things, he says. And what he's not saying that we have all knowledge, but because we have the Holy Spirit, he is our teacher. Because we have the Holy Spirit, he enables us to receive revelation, to receive the truth, because it is the Holy Spirit that testifies of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us gifts and enables us to do specific things. And here, speaking about when the Spirit of the Lord rested upon Jesus in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, which Jesus says that he has been anointed. And we saw that Peter tells us that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And here, Isaiah goes into specific details of why we need the Holy Spirit. And he says, the very first one, he says, the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom. We need the Spirit of wisdom. We need to be, Jesus Christ said, he says that we should be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no ability to be able to stand against the attacks of the devil, against the attacks of the world and the enemy. And he says wisdom and understanding, because those two things go together. Because in order for you to exercise wisdom, then you also must have understanding. To understand what? The scriptures. To understand situations and circumstances, and to view them from God's eyes through the Holy Spirit. And he says the Spirit of counsel and might. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that we are to do is to give counsel to each other. The Bible says that with counsel make war. With right counsel make war. And if you are a pastor, if you are a leader, if you are a brother and sister in Christ, and you have to counsel others. And we have no ability to do such thing without the Holy Spirit. And then he says the counsel and might. And might is the power, the strength, the courage to be able to stand, like we see the apostles stand in the temple, broadly proclaiming, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he says a spirit of knowledge and a fear of the Lord. A spirit of knowledge, to receive knowledge of the Spirit, of what a communication that he wants to send us from God. And not just communication. And then the last thing he leaves, the last thing he says, is, and of the fear of the Lord. Brother and sister, a person who does not have the Holy Spirit does not fear God. That's why a Christian, that's what separates us, a Christian, a true Christian, from one person that merely calls themselves a Christian, is the fact that that Spirit of God dwells in them. And that they have fear of the Lord. When the Bible speaks about fear, it speaks about reverence, respect, honor. A Christian that has the Spirit of God honors God, respects God, gives reverence to God in all circumstances, holds him in importance in our lives. And that's why a person that goes and prays about a certain situation, a person that is seeking God's will, he fears God. He's showing reverence in that he is seeking God's counsel in the matter, so that he can do what is right and please the Lord in all his ways. Brother and sister, it is the Holy Spirit that makes a difference in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit in us which is the deciding factor whether we will make it to the end in our Christian walk. We ought to seek each and every day to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just happen one time. The Bible specifies that we are to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, especially as we grow and mature more in the faith. We are to get greater and greater fillings of the Holy Spirit, because without it, we will fail. We need the anointing.
Amen. I would like to just take a look at a couple of points here. Brother Javers spoke about the anointing being as something smeared with oil. Well, another word for smeared is rubbed. And you know, a lot of us that live down here in Florida, or where there's a lot of sun out, especially in the summer, we use suntan lotion. And what we do is we smear it over our body to protect us from the sun. From the sun's rays, so that way we don't get burned. When we read here in verse 19 and 20, to try to understand what our brother John is talking about here, it says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belongs to us. One of the things that happens when you smear or rub something on you, that particular product becomes part of you, because it goes into your cells and it becomes part of your body. Now, what it's talking about here is our union with Christ. What was an anointing used for? Well, there's many reasons why the people were anointed. But one of the main reasons why they were anointed were because they were consecrated. And to be a king, or perhaps somebody who represented God. Now, let's look at the word, for example, what sanctified me. That is something that has to do with the anointing. And sanctification has to do with becoming holy. The anointing would rub on us the holiness, in other words, the holiness of God. In other words, we will no longer be part of the world. When we accept Jesus Christ, we are no longer part of the world. And from that point on, we turn from our wicked ways and we start walking towards holiness. The second thing that the anointing was used for It was for consecration. And the word consecration means dedicated to a special purpose or service. In other words, you were anointed to do a special service for God. Now, that's why it talks about here, if you were sanctified and you were consecrated, if you walked away from the truth, if you walked away from God, you weren't really part of it. You know, one of the things we see today, we see gang members and stuff, and what they do is they make pacts with blood. They actually cut their selves, and you know, they touch blood with each other. And what that means is they're making a pact that they're going to be loyal to this particular service. Or some of them have tattoos now that you recognize them because of their tattoos, that they belong to a certain clan or a certain group. Well, when this type of anointing that is talking here, it's an anointing that we're part of Jesus Christ, that we're part of his kingdom. And therefore, being part of his kingdom, we're no longer part of the world. That's why I stress so much, brothers and sisters, when I speak about these things, because I know that I repeat this a lot of times, but you know, there's a difference between a man of God and a man of the world. We cannot be in the midst of both of them. And that's one of the biggest problems that we face today. And it's something that needs to change. Either, you know, that's why God says you need to decide who you're going to follow.
Amen. One of the verses I want to look at is John chapter 14, verse 26. And Jesus Christ says something important about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now remember, this is the same John who's writing 1 John, where he said, you have an anointing and you know all things. And here, Jesus is telling his disciples that the Holy Ghost is coming and he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. One of the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit is that the person that is in charge of our learning in the Christian walk, it's not a man. It's not the pastor. The pastor has a responsibility, and he has an office in which he is called by the Lord to do. However, there is an aspect of our personal lives that nobody else is involved in but God himself, and that is the Holy Spirit teaching us each and every moment. You see, the Holy Spirit knows the things that we struggle with, the things that we don't talk about to other people. It's a very intimate relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit, in that he knows the intimate things that are in our heart. He's the one that brings us into the promised land. You see, one of the Old Testament typologies or symbolism of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is the pillar of fire and the cloud gave shade to the Israelites. It gave them a light in the darkness and shade in the scorching heat. And we see how God used the pillar of fire and the cloud during the day to lead them to the place that they were supposed to go. And those specific places where God chose for them to stop and rest, there was a specific lesson that needed to be learned there. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit teaches us is not just by us understanding the Word of God intellectually, but by allowing us to be in circumstances where we have to walk out and live out the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he will lead and guide each and every single believer. That's why we ought to seek to be filled with him. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21 says. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. He also has sealed us and given the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now notice something what Paul says in verse 21, he says, now he who establishes us, what does that word establish mean? It means to solidify, to make firm, to confirm, to make sure, to allow us to become solidified in our faith. And it is God, the one that does it through the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need the power of the Holy Spirit on our lives daily. The anointing of God is not just for preachers. The anointing of God is for all believers. Not only do we need it to preach, but we need it to live out our daily lives. We can't do it without it. And then he says in verse 21, John chapter 2, I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. This is very important. First of all, in verse 21, John again encourages the believers that they have received the truth, that the gospel is the truth. They have not received a fable. They have not received a myth or a story that was made up by men. But it is the truth set forth by God. And then he says, who is a liar? We had read the last chapter. He says, a person that says they have no sin, they make God a liar. They walk in darkness. And then he says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That he is the Messiah, the anointed one. So a person who denies that Jesus is the Christ is a liar. And he says he is Antichrist. That means that every religion that denies that Jesus is the chosen Savior is Antichrist. That's why in this religious movement that we are seeing today, the ecumenical movement in the uniting of all religions, they will only do so if they agree that Jesus is not the Messiah. That is the Antichrist religion. It says, whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. So in denying that Jesus is the Messiah, they deny the Father and the Son. They deny the true God. Because when we look at the ministry of Christ, there was two witnesses that were important to that ministry, and it was the witness that Jesus bore himself, and he says, and my Father bears witness of me. So if you do not accept that Jesus is the chosen Messiah, the only way of salvation, you deny the true God. You deny the Father and the Son, and you are an Antichrist. See, what makes the world uncomfortable is Jesus. If Christianity did not have Jesus in it, the world would accept it. They would receive everything else but Jesus. They would even accept the animal sacrifices, but they won't accept Jesus. They will accept every part of the Bible, but they won't accept the part which shows us who Jesus Christ is. And that's why, brothers and sisters, when we look at the Jewish people today that do not accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they do not accept that Jesus is the Messiah. It's Antichrist. It's an Antichrist religion. The Judaism of today is not the biblical Judaism. It is Antichrist. And he says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. This is so deep, brothers and sisters. It says there's people that just believe in the Father. There's cults that only trust in the Father. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son. They just believed he was a man. And he says, if you don't trust in Jesus, if you deny Jesus, then you don't have the Father either. But he who acknowledges the Son has the Father. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that give such great honor to Jesus Christ? In fact, the Father shows so much honor to Jesus that in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that when he went up to heaven, he says, let all the angels worship him. That's how much the Father honors the Son. In Psalm chapter 2, the Bible says, kiss the Son. In other words, show reverence to him, because the Father reverences the Son. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is huge, especially for those who do not receive, who say that Jesus is not the man who the Bible says. The Bible tells us in John 1:1 that he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. He that confesses the Son has the Father also.
I spoke about the oil being an anointing, and I spoke about two aspects of the oil or the anointing. One is holiness and one is sanctification. Now, the oil represents the Holy Spirit of God, and he is who, like Brother Javer says, teaches us, sanctifies us, and consecrates us. He was the one that consecrated Jesus when he was baptized by John to go and fulfill the mission that Jesus had, which was to go to the cross and die for all of us sinners. Now, I'm going to put this all together so that we all have a clear understanding. The Holy Spirit is our covering. And perhaps there's a few of you that are saying, well, my pastor says that he's my covering. Well, that's not true. And I would encourage you to read your Bible. And now we're going to see this, because this is what the same thing that happened with Jesus when he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, when John baptized him. We're going to see what we're called to do in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has, this is what Jesus is saying, he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set free the oppressed. Now, is that a pastor, or is that the Holy Spirit? Is our covering a man, or is our covering God? There is an lying spirit that's trying to make us believe that we're anointed or sent out in some form or way by a certain individual. That particular person, when we leave that person, we lose our covering. This is what they're saying. We lose our covering. So as long as we're going to their church, as long as we're part of them, we are covered, because somehow they miraculously are the only ones that are anointed by God. And every other individual, right, is protected by his anointing. Are you serious? This is not what it's saying here. It's saying that the Holy Spirit is our covering. He's the one who anoints us to preach. He's the one that anoints us to heal. He's the one that anoints us to cast out demons. This rub is not rubbed by a man. It's rubbed by God. See, there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God used the Holy Spirit to overshadow people. And therefore, you had this type of anointing where you rubbed people, this type of stuff. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is part of us, brothers and sisters. We don't need any man to rub any oil on us. Even though that, you know, the Bible does say that we, you know, put oil on people for healing and such things like that. But not to be our covering. Jesus is our covering. Wherever we go, he is our covering. You know, and the biggest problem with this, brothers and sisters, what happened is that man who is your covering dies. Now, what happened? You got to go look for another one. And the biggest problem that I see here is, okay, that man has a covering. Then that other apostle, whatever it may be, has another covering. And then it gets to whoever the last man is, and then he deals with Christ for you. Isn't that what the Catholic Church is doing? What's the difference? And a lot of us are talking about Catholic priests and all that. Well, that's the same thing. That's where it all comes from, brothers and sisters. This is not something that God put into place. This is something people put into place. And it's wrong.
Verse 24, 1 John chapter 2 says, therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. It's so important what John says here, because what he's telling you is that which you have heard from the beginning, which was the gospel, the instruction that was received from the apostles, is so important to remain in the instruction, in the word of God, in the sound doctrine, that as long as we remain in that doctrine, we also remain in the Father and in the Son. Which is such a critical point, because there's many people, especially with the neo-charismatic movements, that say that doctrine is not important. But that's not true. What happens is that when people hear doctrine, they often think of intellectual things, of, you know, they think of things that are not really practical, but that's not the case. The word doctrine means instruction. Directions. When God leaves us the Bible, he leaves us the Word of God. It is so that we may have instruction on how to live our lives. What Christian can have a victorious Christian life if he ignores what the Word of God says? If he ignores what God has declared? So we see here the importance of sound biblical doctrine, that we see that it is one of the most, if we read the letters of Paul, we read the majority of the letters of the New Testament, something that we see that's being seen over and over is the importance of right doctrine. When we look at, when we read the book of 1 Timothy, over and over, Paul says and instructs Timothy on preaching right doctrine, on remaining in the doctrine that is true. Because when you start preaching doctrine that is contrary to the word of God, you start to preach another God, a false God. And it amazes me, especially nowadays, when you see there's preachers giving a sermon without ever opening the Bible. Maybe they read one or two verses, and the majority of their sermon, they're walking around all over with a little microphone piece on their ears or on their head. And they don't even have a Bible in their hands. Brothers and sisters, let us abide in Christ. And he says, therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. There's a strong connection here, not just the anointing that we receive of the Holy Spirit, but obedience to the instruction that we get through the Word of God. If you do not obey what the Holy Spirit is telling you, if you do not obey what the Word of God is telling you, you will deviate yourself from the path which God has set you upon. Doctrine is important, brothers and sisters, especially in these last days where the deception is ever increasing each and every day.
Amen. Father God, tonight, we thank you, Lord, that you, Father, are a covering, and you are the one who has anointed us to preach your word, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for thinking of us and coming to earth and dying on the cross of Calvary and choosing us, Father, to be your servant. Father, I pray that every single person that listens to this message will understand that we don't need to trust in a man, but put our trust in you. Your word says that you will never leave us or forsake us. So we stand on those words, Father, and we go into the world proclaiming your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for tuning in tonight to Radio Redemption and Power. We invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can have access to all of our podcasts, live radio feed, as well as a contact page where you can send us your prayer requests, questions, or concerns. Or you can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or contact us at 305-320-7727. We thank you for tuning in tonight. We pray that the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.